Okay, welcome lovely med students and people in healthcare. My name is Divine. This is a Motivation Monday podcast for this week. And our topic today is going to be how to deal with anxiety as a medical student. So some of you may have noticed that over the last maybe 3 weeks at this point, I have been making these Motivation Monday podcasts. Really my goal with these podcasts are to focus on things that may be non-academic, but they are pervasive problems faced by med students, faced by people in healthcare. And ultimately, I really hope that you find this to be helpful. So why am I talking about anxiety today? Well, anxiety is a huge problem in medicine. I would say it would be very hard. You'd be very hard pressed to find a person that is a medical student or works in healthcare that has never faced anxiety. Even I, Divine, speaking to you right now, have absolutely faced anxiety. And I mean, I feel like the way medicine is run in this country is almost like anxiety building in many respects, right? I know many people are preparing for the ERA cycle right now. That's anxiety building. Or you see some people preparing for the USMLE exams to get their scores in on time for the end of the month. That's anxiety building. Or we know the supplemental application that our friends at ERAS have brought out recently. That certainly can build anxiety. Or we know about these USMLE exams, med school exams, being on the wards, your rotations, your rotation evaluations, your shelf exam scores, your research, making sure your personal statement is perfect and all those things. All these things bring anxiety, right? So there are potentially many things to be worried about in this life, right? So I guess maybe let me start off by saying, what is anxiety? Anxiety is just having this internal state of turmoil, right? And I mean, usually when you're anxious, you're not settled. You're not going to be enjoying things, right? If you're in a place and you're supposed to be enjoying that place, but you're anxious, then you're not going to be enjoying that place at all. Because your mind is not in the right place, basically. You may be there in person, but you're not there in spirit, right? And really, anxiety is just a state of fear, right? And like many things in life, anxiety is just a battle of the mind. This is something that my dad had always told me from when I was young, that, you know, that many times in life, if you can win the battle in your mind, you'll win the battle in the real world, right? Many times anxiety is a state of mind, right? And again, as I said, anxious people, they always live in fear. They essentially have no peace, right? And the thing is, if you live in this world, because this world, I feel like, is almost set up for you to not have peace. If you turn on the news, it's bad news you hear. You go on social media, it's bad news you hear. You go here, you go there, bad news all around, right? So people that live in anxiety, they live in fear, right? They have no peace, right? And the thing is, when people know that you're anxious, they will try to take advantage of you, right? Or they will try to tear you down, right? Like for example, when you're going to buy a car, at least I know this is certainly the practice here in the US. When you're going to buy a car, unless you're trying to trade in your own car, what does a car salesman do? A car salesman will try to take advantage of your anxiety. They will know that, okay, let me try to denigrate this person's car so that I can tank the value of the car, right? All they need to do is just work on your mind, right? When you come in at first, they will offer you coffee, they'll offer you hot chocolate, they'll offer you a bottle of cold water. They'll do all these things to get you to trust them, right? And then by doing that, they just essentially sizing up your fears and emotions, right? And then what do they do after that? They go for the kill immediately, right? When they see your car, they start pointing out all the problems, right? Notice they will never point out the good things about your car. They will point out the problems in your car. They know that when they point out the problems, right, you become anxious. As you'll learn later in this podcast, people that are anxious always focus on the worst case scenario, right? So what do? Because if they point out all the good things of your car, it doesn't make sense from a business perspective for them. That will jack up the value of your car, right? You'll be like, no, my car is worth this much, right? But if they show you all the problems you have, oh, your engine doesn't work. Oh, look at this paint chip here. Oh, this car is old. Oh, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. They will give you less value than your car is worth, right? So they take advantage of all those things, right? So when people know that you are anxious, they'll walk all over you. They will take complete advantage of you, right? So for example, if you when you're in a big moment, right? Like for example, I remember when I was preparing for the USMLE exams, I noticed that, man, sometimes my body will be shaking and all those things. And I'm glad that God really helped me with that, because, you know, thankfully I have been able to master that anxiety. God has helped me master that anxiety. Because, you know, when I would take USMLE exams, you know, God willing, and I'm grateful for this, you know, I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I'm not, yes, am I nervous? Yes. But am I like panicked and like anxious and everything on the outside? Absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. So I think really like anxiety can be really crippling. It's a very powerful paralytic. And again, some of this podcast may be freestyle, but I'll try to be as organized as I can. But you really need to be careful of anxiety. It's something that needs to be dealt with, because if you don't deal with anxiety, anxiety will deal with you, right? And the thing is, people that are anxious, they cannot face adversity. They're just not able to face adversity, right? Because the thing is, those people, they dwell on weak foundations. A person that is anxious, they are like tepid. They are very timid with life. Right? So the moment anxiety comes, they just immediately topple over, right? They immediately topple over, right? But the thing is, whether you like it or not, stress and tough times are a normal part of life, right? Again, if anybody tells you that, oh, when you come into this world, you will never be stressed, everything will just be smooth sailing for you, even if you're a rich, wealthy person, they are lying to you, right? Stress is a part of life, right? I mean, let me ask you this. Why do you think babies cry when they come into the world? They know that their brain brought into a place that may not be the kindest to them, right? So stress, tough times are a necessary part of life, right? Even like, I mean, many of you listen to this podcast, you know I'm a Christian, right? You see many people say, oh, once you give your life to Christ, you'll never have troubles, you'll never have trials, you'll never have any of these problems. Again, that's not what the Bible says, right? There are going to be tough times, right? The Bible says, though the righteous may fall seven times, they will rise again, right? So that means they will fall. That means they face the tough situation, but they can conquer that situation. So that's the kind of message I want to bring you today. Like, the fact that you're facing a tough circumstance does not mean you can overcome it, right? And for those of you that are thinking, contemplating suicide, that is not the way out. I promise you that is not the way out. You can conquer that situation. You can come back from that negative situation. Trust me, you absolutely can. Right? So don't let anxiety take hold of you and completely destroy your life. And again, like I said earlier, anxious people, they always focus on the worst case scenarios, right? So I guess maybe one thing that I can go into now is, what are some things that cause anxiety? Because really, sometimes when you understand the problem, you're better able to deal with that problem, right? So what causes anxiety? Well, one thing I'll say for sure is just focusing on things that you cannot control, right? So the thing is, it's very unfortunate, but many of us in healthcare, many of us residents, many of us medical students, right? We always want to control everything, right? We always want to feel like we can fix every single thing. But here's the thing, you cannot. You're not a jack of all trades, right? It doesn't matter how great or amazing you are at multitasking. You can't fix every problem. That's just the truth, right? You cannot control everything, right? But you see people, they focus on things they cannot control, right? Instead of focusing on things that they can control, right? That's one thing. That's why you see many times in the Bible, the Bible talks about how the people that will make heaven are like babies, right? Babies, they are completely helpless. When a newborn is born, like, this newborn cannot do diddly squat for himself or herself. They can't change their diapers. They can't cook any food for themselves. They cannot ambulate. They cannot move around. They can literally do nothing, right? But somehow, they get all their needs met, right? They don't have that anxiety. They don't have that fear. They don't have that worry, right? So that's the thing. Like, focus on what you can control. Don't focus on things you cannot control. Another thing that also causes anxiety is comparisons. Med students, they are like amazing at this stuff, right? Comparing yourself with another person. Oh, this person is using this resource. Well, I'm not using it, so I must be behind. Wow, this person, this resident said this good thing about this person. They didn't say that about me. I must be behind. Oh, wow, this person has 27 publications. I have only 15. Wow, I must be lagging behind. No, right? Stop comparing yourself with other people. Even the Bible says that people that compare themselves with others, it is not wise, right? You see many medical students, they compare. The thing is, if you look hard enough, you will always find someone that is better at something than you. That's just the truth, right? You'll always find someone that has better evals. You'll always have someone that has better scores, right? Again, just, and many of these things, it then crafts this attitude of ungratefulness, right? Because again, that situation that you are loathing over, that situation that you are saying, oh, wow, I have all these things and I don't have enough yet, it may be the answer to another person's prayers, right? So comparing yourself with other people is not helpful at all, right? And then another thing is that also causes anxiety is impatience. impatient. You see, people, I feel like this world, like the way our world is set up now, is to encourage more anxiety, is to encourage more impatience, right? Many people have this drive-through mentality. They are not willing to wait for anything, right? Again, there's this adage from, I'm sure it's probably popular in other countries, it's pretty popular in Nigeria, that the patient dog eats the fattest bone, right? So the thing is, you see many people, they don't want to wait. Right? They want to get things immediately, right? And the thing is, when you want to get things immediately like that, you won't put in the requisite amount of work to get what you want, right? You see people, they want to immediately get in the 270s on the USMLEs, right? And they want to get it in 2 weeks. They don't want to put in the work. Even me, Divine, talking to you right now, I did not do well on the USMLEs by wanting it in 2 weeks. Mm-mm. It was a process that started at the very beginning of medical school for me. Right? But impatience, right? Impatience, right? And the thing is, when you then do things out of the realm of impatience, right? You start making just very foolish decisions, right? You see some people, they jump into certain relationships, jump into certain marriages, jump into certain agreements with people out of impatience. And then they regret it later. Instead of them to have waited, gotten exactly what they want, they want to get it immediately. Drive-through mentality, right? And again, those things are one of the things that also like kind of stoke addiction, but that's a more like higher level discussion that I'm willing to go into right now, right? And then another thing that also causes anxiety is just leaving things for the last minute, right? As a person that tutors and has fought like thousands of medical students and people all over the world, right? I've seen this play out time and time and time again. You see people, they leave things for the last minute, right? Again, people that are not proactive are people that are setting themselves up for anxiety, right? Because when you leave things for the last minute, you then start working under panicked circumstances. We could have just done that thing easy peasy from the very beginning, right? And then another thing that also causes anxiety is when you just have no vision or plan for your life. Literally, you have like no vision, no plan. No vision, no plan, right? Again, the thing is, it's very important to be standardized in life, right? When you have no schedule, when you have no vision, when you have no plan, then it would make perfect sense that you become anxious, right? Because if you think about it, when you have a vision or a plan, then you know that, okay, these are like standards I need to live by, right? So that I can make it through my day. And at the end of the day, feel like I've gotten something out of that day, right? Now, another thing that also causes anxiety is just depending on others. Depending on others for things. I'm not saying you shouldn't depend on others, right? But the thing is, like, the only person you can truly ever trust is yourself, right? You can truly ever trust is yourself, right? And really also another thing that causes anxiety is just chemicals. That's just the truth. You see some people, I'm not trying to start an anti-coffee campaign. Even I, Divine, have drank coffee. But to be honest with you, I drink coffee much less than most, right? I mean, drink like coffees maybe like less than 5 times in a year. Or less than 10 times in a year, right? Because again, just many of these substances, they just stoke people's anxiety, right? So I guess to wrap up this podcast, how do we deal with anxiety? Well, the first thing I will say is just do the right thing, right? Do the right thing. The thing is, you usually will have peace of mind when you know you've done what is right, right? And the thing is, many of us in our conscience, we know the right thing to do in a given circumstance. Right? You know the right thing to do. Do the right thing and you won't be anxious, right? A person that is anxious as they are driving is the one that is breaking the speed limit. They know that they are disobeying the law. They know they are doing the wrong thing, right? That's going to stoke anxiety. And the thing that works for me, again, many of you listening to this podcast know that I'm a Christian, is I pray. That's the truth. Sometimes I pray multiple times a day, right? Because that's the thing, like, this world we live in is a wicked world. This world we live in just has so much going on. And sometimes I just wonder how people are able to make it through the day or make it through a year, like make it through a day, talk less of a year without God. So it's just, for me, it's something that I found to be really, really helpful. It has helped me a lot. I just pray. And once I pray, I just have this peace that just completely fills my heart. And I'm able to do things right. And I'm able to kind of move forward. And then another thing that's also important is to focus on the best case scenario. Right? Again, stop being a Debbie Downer. Like, I've worked with so many people that are Debbie Downers. They always focus on how they will not be able to match. Always focus on how they are going to fail the USMLE exams. Oh, they just never focus on anything good. They just always, always focus on the bad. Again, remember, there's this part of the Bible that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The more you think positive, the more positive your life will be. Right? So I will encourage you today, focus on the best case scenario. Like, remember the story of the widow of Zarephath from the Bible. Literally, her child had just died. And so people were asking her, oh, how is everything going? And she was like, all is well, right? She was focusing on the best case scenario. She wasn't focusing on the worst case scenario, right? Now, again, stop comparing yourself with other people. Stop comparing yourself, right? Stop comparing yourself with other people. It's just not worth it, right? The thing is, I'm not saying you should do this to have a standard of like failure in life. No, that is absolutely not what I'm saying, right? But the thing is, if you stop comparing, like, have an internal scorecard for yourself that, you know what, this is the standard I want to meet for myself personally. If you meet that standard, be satisfied, be grateful, and leave it at that, right? But stop comparing yourself with other people. The more you compare yourself with other people, the more depressed and anxious you're going to be, right? And then just try to stop worrying. Again, there will always be things you can potentially worry about, but you just need to stop worrying about those things, right? And the thing is, you also need to stop drawing your validation from external things, right? Stop drawing your validation from external things by how well people like you, by how much people think of you. And to be honest with you, like, I've gone through that phase in my life where I really, really wondered. And to be honest with you, I was even still go through it today to an extent where I'm worried about, like, oh, what would this person think about me? I hope they like what I did. I hope this, I hope that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I hope people like this podcast that they heard. I hope people don't hate me. Blah, 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 blah. No, no, right? Once you know you've done, like, for me, right? One way I've thought of dealing with that is I tell myself, have I done the right thing? Have I done something excellent? If I've done those things, and is it pleasing to God? If I feel like I've met those criteria, then I don't care what people think about me anymore, right? For me, I'm just like, you know what? I've done what is comfortable with my conscience. It doesn't matter what people think. They can think whatever they want. I'm just doing my best to help people out here. If they think good, fine. If they think bad, fine. At the end of the day, they are not the ones that are controlling my destiny, right? So again, don't draw your validation from external things. Draw your validation from internal things. And then another thing that also helps with dealing with anxiety is just having a gratitude journal. Having a gratitude journal, because it's a very good way to focus on the best case scenarios, right? When you're thankful for what has been done, right? Remember the story of the 10 lepers. The one that was thankful, right, was the one that was made whole. The fact that a person has been healed of leprosy doesn't mean they've been made whole. It's the 10th leper that came back to express gratitude that was made whole. So maybe like, oh, all the scars on his body and all those things were completely taken away, right? So it's very, very important to have a gratitude journal. And the thing that also helps is just planning ahead. Plan ahead. Plan ahead. Many med students, they just don't plan. You need to plan, guys. You need to plan. If you don't plan, you're just setting yourself up to fail, right? When you start med school, have a plan for how you're going to do on step one. Have a plan for how you're going to be tackling your exams, right? Have a plan for how you're going to attack the match process, right? But you see people, they don't plan. They're not proactive, right? Even in quality improvement, we have this term called failure modes and effects analysis. That's a proactivity plan. You're looking ahead into the future. You're trying to plan, right? You're trying to plan. And another thing I will just say is be patient, be level-headed. I'm telling you, like, when you're patient and level-headed, you're more likely to not be anxious, one. And then two, you're more likely to take constructive action, right? That was one thing that helped me a ton as an intern, right? So, you know, when I was doing my transitional year, we would have codes every now and then, you know, during our ICU rotations. And you see people during a code, you're just panicked. They're just freaking flipping out all over the place. You don't have to do that. That is one thing that God really used to help me. Just being calm in those situations, being very just patient in those situations, right? When you become calm in those situations of chaos, you then start acting constructively. It's almost like the person's cardiac arrest slows down for you to act in wisdom. Right? So I'll encourage you to be patient, be level-headed. And again, don't depend on chemicals. That's probably the final thing I would say, right? Don't depend on chemicals. The thing is, chemicals can, many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Like alcohol, drugs, marijuana, all those things, right? Like those things, they will calm down your anxiety temporarily, right? But they don't address the root cause, right? These tips I'm giving you is to address the root cause, not to keep dancing around in circles and running that rat race in life, right? So don't depend on chemicals. Again, those are just all these things are obviously my personal opinions. But again, they are things I found to be really helpful, right? And one last thing I guess I'll say is be bold, right? Don't be fearful. Be bold. Even the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Think of yourself as a lion. Think of yourself as, you know what? I have dominion over the situation, right? Stop thinking of yourself as like the backbencher that people can walk all over. No, tell yourself that, you know what, I'm prepared. I'm telling you, when I go to USMLE exams, I tell myself, I am absolutely going to dominate this exam. Just have that mentality, win that battle in your mind, and you'll very likely win that battle in life. So I think I'm going to go ahead and stop here. Again, as I do at the end of every podcast, I do offer review courses for the Step 2 CK, Step 3, and Comlex exams. I actually have one coming up. I have like an MBME test taking strategies class taking place next month on the 4th. And then I have a review course taking place between the 5th and the 8th of October. So if you're interested in those classes, I still have spaces. Just shoot me an email and I'll give you some more details and ways you can register. Just hit the contact button on the website and contact me. And then I also offer one-on-one tutoring for all the USMLE exams. And for, you know, clerkship exams, med school, preclinical exams. And I also help with ERAS applications. That's probably one of the most significant things I've been doing in recent times. Again, I've done this process for years. So if you have red flags, tricky application, and you need help with like rec letters, personal statements, ERAS applications, even the supplemental application for those going into internal medicine, derm and surgery, just go ahead and reach out to me. Again, I've done really quality work with many people that they're like, I don't think I'll be able to match. And now they're residents and I hear from them all the time. And then I have these podcasts on all the podcast apps, Google, Apple, and Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And then I also have a YouTube channel, Divine Intervention USMLE Podcasts and Videos. When you go on that YouTube channel, you'll be able to find all the videos that I have made. And then finally, I guess one other thing I'll say is, again, I've gotten many emails from people that, wow, Divine, I really love your life lessons. So the thing is, I have a website. It's a new website I started. It's called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. It's just very short podcasts, like just very short Bible-based teaching. All of them are less than 10 minutes, right? And I try to put like two or three up a week. I just talk about a life lesson that is, you know, faced by many people. And again, many people have found it to be helpful. And I also have the podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you just do an Apple Podcast search for Divine Intervention Life Lessons Podcast, you'll see them. So far, I believe I have like about 20 episodes. And I'm going to, again, keep aggressively adding more in the coming weeks. So thank you for listening to me. Have a wonderful day. Again, don't be anxious. Trust God and all will be well with you. Thank you.